rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number.
What do you got?
What the hell?
Oh, no. Do we have a crisis?
No.
Oh.
1264.
Let's go.
Let me note that on the sheet.
Out the door, 1264.
1264. March 13th, 2024. 67 degrees on this day in 2012, when I remember the golf courses were all open by St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 9 below on this day in 1895. And on this day,
March 13th,
in 2006, 10 inches of snow back when we used to have winter.
Come on. Don't
10
say
inches
it.
Of snow in 2006.
Wow. Yep. Hail the flashlight, King.
Hail you! And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner. Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
From Bill Stein up in Aiken, we get news that in the earliest ice out date ever on record, the entire Puss Lake chain, and consisting of upper pus, middle pus, lard, and lower pus, was declared ice-free on March 10th.
All right.
It's the only ice out for the day.
Great.
And as long as I have this in front of me...
Have we ever thought about renaming the lakes? Because of bad pus?
I went by one yesterday, Reavers, and every time I go by it, my anger level skyrockets. It used to be called Mud Lake.
Oh.
Coolest lake name ever.
Yeah.
These tree-hugging panty waste renamed it Golden Pond.
No.
And it's an asshole.
It's an
absolute asshole, and they renamed it Golden Pond. It's so disgusting.
That's pretty stupid.
God, that makes me mad.
In fact, that should get the double, shouldn't it?
Do you guys want something interesting to do on St. Patrick's Day? Sunday,
sure.
March 17th.
I already know what I'm doing, but go ahead. Entice me.
2:30 p.m. at the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul. Stephen C. With Pat Donahue.
Oh.
And with Jillian Anderson. And,
what?
And Jack Cassidy and Doug Nelson. It's going to be similar to the Christmas shows at the Cathedral. He'll have his favorite melodies of all time from the Stephen C. solo piano treatment, joined by Pat Donahue, Jillian Anderson, Catherine Boudzian, Jack Cassidy, and Doug Nelson. This will be the best of the classical, folk, sacred, and inspirational pop genres. And Stephen C. told me the church was telling him no Irish drinking songs, but the first song Donahue wants to do is the Irish blues. So, so they'll have a good time.
We'll see how that
goes. Where do you get tickets? Where do you get tickets?
It's free, isn't it? You just show up, I think.
Bring a can good.
It's free. No registration required.
None?
You don't even have to bring a can of food.
Come on.
Just show up. Well, that's pretty good.
Bring a can of Chef Boyardee for Steven.
Yeah, right.
He'll appreciate it.
Meant to get to it yesterday and did not. There's a follow-up in, I believe, today's paper, returning to that story of a gal named Kathy Cargill, who's married to one of the Cargill family, who's been buying up land on Park Point in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest is the mayor of Duluth, Roger Reinert, is attempting to assure the public that they'll continue to have access to Park Point. It's a very nice beach there, and she remains somewhat silent. Not somewhat. She remains silent about the plans and what's taking place. But what's beginning to really intrigue me is. Watching, and not that Reinert was a ray of hope that he got elected over Emily Larson. He's fairly rational as a Democrat.
But get to it.
But it's very interesting to watch the Mysterians.
Yeah.
dealing with what is remaining of our private sector capitalism in this country. They don't know what the hell to do. Right. They want meetings, and they feel that they should have a hand in it somehow, and they really aren't entitled to whatsoever.
And the more time that goes by and the less that she says, the more up in arms they are. It's just so fantastic.
And nobody knows what the plans are, but with apparently an unlimited source of income, Kathy Cargill just keeps buying up homes. Now, you don't have to sell.
Right.
You don't have to sell to her. Oh. And the mayor's been telling people that.
But, and she's been buying it at twice the value. Right. She's been spending huge coin.
You live in one of those drafty cottages, and she comes along with a great big offer, you might be tempted.
It's the day you've been waiting for since you bought that asshole back in the late 60s.
But now I can't get enough of the story because the city hall types are agog. They don't know what the hell's going on. How can somebody be doing this without our involvement? We should be telling them what the future of Park Point's going to be. It's going to be a place of respite and wellness. And, you know, that's one of the rumors, by the way. That's one of the rumors. It is strictly a rumor that what they want to develop there, what Kathy might want to develop there, and I have no idea. I wish she'd talk to us for car guys. Come on, Kathy, I admire your McLarens.
Don't start pulling a Mayor of Duluth bit here.
What?
Let her be.
Oh, no, I know. But one of the rumors is to build some sort of, I don't know, a retreat as a hedge against climate change.
Oh, see, now, you're disappointing me, Joe. You're falling into the trap that the real mayor of Duluth and all these bigwigs have fallen into, which is wild, wild speculation. And that's what's driving them crazy. And now you're falling into that trap. Let her be. Let her go. It's her money. Who cares?
Well, it's not wide enough to be a track. It can't be a racetrack.
You're still speculating. You got to control that.
All right,
what have you been smoking crack or something?
You know what?
Chill, brother.
Never mind.
I love this story so much because these people are so up in arms and she's not saying anything, but she's paying twice the value of the property. Love it.
It isn't even that they're up in arms. It's that they just, with the Mysterians has come a sense of extraordinary entitlement, and they think they run the show.
Give it to me. What's your speculation? What are you thinking?
You just told me not to do that.
I want to hear. I want to hear it. I got to hear it.
The best rumor I've heard is the climate change retreat. Somehow these idiots have themselves thinking that somehow there won't be climate change in Duluth.
There'll only be
20 miles down the road, there'll be climate change.
So Superior won't go up like 6 feet.
Because this thing is about an inch above the sea, above the lake level.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what's going on, but I love the byplay between the Mysterians who've never been outside City Hall and have no idea what work is or money. They're suddenly confronted by a billionaire who walks in and starts buying houses right and left, and their heads are spinning. They don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting story.
It's great spectating. I love it. I'm actually collecting stories about it. It's so enjoyable.
Now we have a lawsuit that isn't that new, but it's back in the news, where Keith Ellison is alleging Fleet Farm violated the state Gun Control Act when it sold firearms to straw buyers. But there's a bit of a hiccup here. The straw buyers passed every known test to man. They passed FBI background checks, and they have a permit. They walk into Fleet Farm, and they're perfectly legal to buy a weapon. How is Fleet Farm supposed to know that they were going to become bad guys by going out and selling the guns?
Is Keith Ellison alleging that they should have profiled here? That would be bad, right? Profiling? Isn't there a DEI thing about that?
Yeah. In an unrelated case in December, the state Supreme Court clarified that the Attorney General can enforce a broad scope of laws concerning unfair, discriminatory, and other unlawful practices in business, commerce, or trade. The state's Gun Control Act regulates the relationship and duties among businesses, their customers, and the general public so as to fall under the umbrella of laws that Ellison's office can enforce. What is there to enforce? How is the clerk at Fleet Farm, he checks everything he's supposed to check. It all checks out. It's not the clerk at Fleet Farm's fault that the guy goes out and becomes a bad guy.
Right. It's the you should have known law.
There is no such thing.
Ellison has not alleged that Fleet Farm's store ever failed to require a customer to complete a federally required paperwork for the firearms transactions, nor did it claim Fleet Farm sold firearms without receiving the go-ahead from the FBI's background check system.
He's just convinced he needs somebody to sue.
That's all it is. And I think Fleet Farm was just picked out of a hat because it was discovered that one or more of the firearms that they sold this guy, who I believe has pled guilty or admitted guilt, ended up being used actually in that truck park crime.
Plaintiff alleges nothing about Fleet Farm's firearm policies in either the operative complaint or the proposed amended complaint. Instead, plaintiff contends Fleet Farm should be held civilly liable for unspecified societal harms based on the foreseeable criminal conduct that purportedly followed from firearm sales to two individuals, Sarah Elwood and Jerome Horton. Let me stop right there. Stop. Those two, by the way, have since been convicted in federal crime cases.
Yep.
Let me stop right there. If this is just another way the mystery is attempting to end capitalism, how can you live in a society that's capitalistic if you're to be held responsible for unknown or unspecified societal harms? How can you sell a car?
The accidental link I made in my head, speaking of cars, was the city of Minneapolis and Hyundais.
Yeah.
That was the link I...
How do you sell anything that could be harmful? How do you sell a snowblower? What if Sam Smithson stuck his hand in there again?
Yeah. Well, I do that all the time to unclog
it. No, it was his unit. It was his swimsuit area.
Ouch. Oh, that's a little weird.
Out looking for that thing like the Winter Carnival medallion.
I mean, I love my snowblower, but come on.
No, but what kind of life are we supposed to lead with these people like Keith Ellison, who is pointless? Fleet Farm should be held civilly liable for unspecified societal harms based on unforeseeable. So they're saying it's unspecified and unforeseeable, but we're still holding you responsible. Well, the only conclusion Fleet Farm can reach is to not sell guns.
Right.
Which would be the goal of the Mysterians.
That's the goal. Yep. And next it'll be the other big box outdoor stores that, you know, sell firearms and ammunition. Nobody's safe from this lawsuit, at least not in Minnesota. And if he wins, it sets precedent for other states.
Match manufacturers will have to stop selling matches.
Oh, it's your wildest dreams, Joe. Anything and everything is now liable.
There's been an unusual and unfortunate number of fires in the Twin Cities this year.
Yeah.
And so where's Keith Ellison to sue match manufacturers? These are unspecified and unforeseeable criminal conducts that's arisen from the manufacture of the matches. What the hell is he going to do?
This is just another cog in the banning guns movement is all this is. That's why they don't go after these other things. The end goal is getting rid of guns, of your right to own firearms.
Well, let's dovetail in here. Let's do some dovetailing.
How do we dovetail?
We now, in addition to not wanting to enforce minimum sentencing for gun control, for gun crimes, they'd rather create more laws they'd rather go after Fleet Farm for an unspecified and unforeseen problem than to make sure the kid who illegally shoots a gun gets a minimum sentence.
And you know what?
Because that's not equitable.
What's right. funny is they shut the comments off of that Fleet Farm story
yeah.
on the Star Tribune's website.
But now we have a proposed bill from Representative Cedric Fraser, DFL New Hope. He's the House sponsor of the bill as part of an ongoing effort to pass reforms in the criminal justice system. He wants to, he's the guy that doesn't want mandatory minimum sentences. And now they want to do a deal where juveniles, the age of juveniles is raised to 21.
Nope.
So now you have until 21 to commit a lot of gun crimes without any consequences. It's 18.
They're throwing them both at us at the same time. Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, let's see if Cedric's... Yes, he is. A new bill aims to expand the age of a juvenile accused of a crime from 18 to 21. We're trying to line up what the science tells us.
Cedric Adams is at the base of the
Cedric
mystery
Fraser.
Here. Fraser, I'm sorry. Where'd I get Adams?
Cedric Adams was the old WCCO newsman who lived on his cruiser on Lake Minnetonka in the summer.
I think that cracker was probably harmless, except for his nieces and nephews. Who knows what happened?
Had a bottle anyway. In the office back in those days. A new Minnesota bill aims to expand the age of a juvenile to 21. We're trying to line up what the science tells us and what the data tells us with how our systems work, how our criminal justice system works, and how we're dealing with our young people. This is Cedric Fraser, DFL New Hope. Fraser cites science that says our brains aren't fully developed. This is a Mary Moriarty BS. Yeah. Our brains aren't fully developed until well into our 20s. And yet,
unless,
but a kid that's six knows that he should be changing gender.
Yeah, well, there's exceptions to every rule, Joe. Come on, man.
Okay.
Jeez, whatever.
You bunch of phonies, you frauds. Oh, you're just such disingenuous frauds.
Okay,
members of law enforcement say young people know right from wrong and that you can't be selective when applying that kind of science.
These guys are all scientists.
Yeah, suddenly it's science now. Science would have to explain to me why you're okay if you make a great decision. Let's say join one of our armed forces at 18, then that's a great decision. But if you go out and murder somebody, well, your brain's not developed yet.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's Hennepin County Sheriff Dewana Witt saying. So somebody is going to have to teach me. Show me why it's different when it's a bad decision versus a good decision. And here's my man Booker Hodges comes into play and says the science-based reasoning is forgetting the victims of these crimes. I think Booker's being polite. The science-based reasoning is a bunch of B as in B, S as in S. A lot of the arguments they make for a lot of these typically are racial disparity-based arguments. This is my man Booker. He's a black guy. He sees right through this BS. Mm-hmm. The issue is they never talk about the disparities in the victims. We're always talking about the people who commit these crimes. A committee has not heard the bill. To think of a 20-year-old as a child, that's a tough hurdle for most of us to get over, said Hodges. Racial disparities have nothing to do with this. This is about what's right and wrong. And this is an African-American sheriff, Dewana Witt, saying this. So, see, there's a great war between the mystery and law enforcement. We're seeing that play out every day. There's a great, great war between the mystery and law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way Mary Moriarty is handling Ryan Londegren. That's a battle. She's declared war on law enforcement. And so is Cedric Fraser. Let's raise minimum age for a juvenile to 20. Let's not have any minimum sentences for gun control for gun crimes because that doesn't reflect equity. These people are nuts. They're nuts. They don't want a good life. They don't want a good life for everybody.
Trying to wrap my juvenile commits a gun crime, gets sentenced to jail, and that time in jail does that juvenile more harm to him than it does good for us and or the victims of his crime. Is that what I'm seeing?
I think you're on the right track.
We need to get Booker.
Never mind the kid he shot.
Right. Or the family. or the survivors or the we need to talk to Booker for at least an hour.
I've actually put out a request for that.
Yeah, let's do that.
I know somebody that knows somebody. So we'll have him on soon.
Booker, I've never seen Booker too terribly frightened of a microphone. I don't think it would be difficult to to get him on.
All right.
Yeah. Let's be nice.
Let's be nice. He's a straightforward guy.
In your own way.
He's not frightened of a microphone, all right? Okay. Say, does your garage door need work? Get a hold of the guy. And when you get a hold of the guy, you get the whole family. Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. They are the best. They try to take care of everything on one visit so you don't hear that song and dance about having to run back to the shop to get a couple of new bolts and nuts. Right. Damn it, I thought I had those in the truck. That usually doesn't happen. They do the rollers and the springs and the openers and probably help you with that app on your phone that you have no idea what to do with. Mm-hmm. That would be including me. And they're hiring too, but check that out on your own. It's just a great, great place to work. They don't charge more for weekend visits. Have you ever had a weekend visit by a garage door company?
Oh, it's the worst, Joe.
Well, they charge you. They charge you more. Don't they charge
Thanks,
you more?
Chris.
You're welcome.
Don't they charge you more on
yes,
the weekends?
Yes, Matt, they do. They
do. Just like it was read in the script, Chris, attaboy.
But Precision Garage Door doesn't charge you more for weekends.
Right.
It's a GLR-owned business. Find them at precisiondoormn.com. precisiondoormn.com. Or put this telephone number in your phone. 612-263-6985.
Here we go. Time to do that spring cleaning, right? Yes. I want you to think about your air ducts, your carpet, and the whole house getting cleaned. You're going to save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with these limited offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Of course, it's the rookie to tell you about Zero Res. Zero Res has been here from day one. And you know what? 17,000 raving customer reviews online, a 4.9 Google rating. See what the hype is all about. And your air ducts, they're like the lungs of your home. If they're dirty, your indoor air quality will suffer. So this month, get 3-room Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129. Take $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. What a deal. You owe it to yourself and to your family to breathe healthy, happy, and clean. Call Zero Res right now. Here's the number, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the rookie special. Hey, spelled forward or backwards, it's spelled the same. Zero Res.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
Buffoon number three.
Yes.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
Here's something I've never seen before. The field across the road from me has already been seeded. It was treated, it was turned over, and it was seeded over the weekend. Everything is starting early this season, and that includes landscape season earlier than ever. So if you're considering a landscaping or outdoor living space project this summer, you've got to get on the horn with Professional Turf today. ProTurf will work with you to design your project using digital photography and landscape imaging software. Basically, that means you're going to be looking at a color version of your project before they even put a shovel in the ground. You can upgrade that outdoor living space with what are you thinking? Anything you want. Concrete pavers, natural stone patios, fire pits, driveways, walkways, retaining walls, trees, mulch beds. On and on and on. Ponds, sure. Rock fountains, yes. Streams. ProTurf, they've been providing superior landscape Did I just combine two words, lawnscape?
Yes, you did.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. That's beautiful.
That is impressive.
They've also been doing irrigation service since 82. They're pros, professional turf. The design team will install a landscape and outdoor living space plan for your home. That you'll, not only will you love it, but it's going to add value to your property. All you have to do is get on the website right now today. Really easy to remember, professionalturf.com.
I have four stories in front of me, and they are all the same story. Three of them we've mentioned in the previous 20 minutes. I will add a fourth. New bill aims to raise age of juveniles accused of crime from 18 to 21. Minnesota lawmakers consider changes to mandatory minimum sentencing. Minnesota now alleging Fleet Farm violated state gun control act when it sold firearms to straw buyers. And the one you haven't heard. Maryland city equity official says she wants U.S. to burn to the ground. Then my ideology can rise from the ashes. The equity officer is tasked with eliminating racism in College Park, Maryland. So her way of doing that would be to burn it down. And her name is, and I'll tie this all together, I hope, the city of College Park, Maryland hired a racial equity leader to spearhead its mission to eliminate systemic racism in its departments, who has made statements defending violence and promoting the idea of revolution against the United States. Kayla Elise Carter supports black liberation through revolutionary means and said she is working with some activists to plan how we will eat and live and grow after we burn it all down. She was hired to be a racial equity officer under Mayor Fazlul Kabir in 2022. In this role, she oversees an entire team tasked with implementing a racial equity agenda across all city departments. She was hired after Mayor Kabir signed a law into effect that would call for the creation of this position. These four stories are the same because it's much deeper than a war against law enforcement. What's really taking place is oppressors are under attack, even though they don't remotely think of themselves as being oppressors. There is a growing faction of people who are more than willing to call themselves oppressed, and when they look for the enemy, it's you. The enemy is Fleet Farm. The enemy is
Kia.
Kia. The enemy is sentencing guidelines. The enemy is juvenile age definitions. These are laws that were written patriarchally. They are affectations of an older time. And if we only burn this world down and start over, we just burn it over and start over, we'll not only eliminate all of the oppressors, but the oppressed will have risen to invent and dominate this new society, which, of course, will be much better than the society we currently live in.
We'll tell you how to live.
Much better. And we'll never have any of these problems again once we just burn down what we have now and start over. That's what's happening. Now, we don't...
Thus bringing about a country we no longer recognize.
Right. You can't... It's hyperbole to say it's happening. It's not really. It's happening. But it's just a little bit here, a little bit there.
A little bit of seepage.
A little seepage.
Yeah, right here.
And then the next thing you know, Cedric Fraser's got a new bill. You know, let's raise the age to 21. That'll really take a lot of kids off the hook. Little Cedric Fraser again. Let's not have minimum sentences. That proves to be inequitable. There are too many young black kids that are getting... Let's stop shooting each other, black kids. Stop shooting anybody. Just... Have a good life. Who's stopping you? Well, who's stopping them? They've been taught that who's stopping them are the oppressors. And who are the oppressors? You, anyone that isn't you.
Not seeing any sign that anybody in the city disagrees with this. I'm not seeing any hubbub or reaction whatsoever.
Right.
30,000 residents incorporated as a town in 1945.
Yeah. You're talking about College Park, Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She wants to burn it all down. Now, has she been fired?
Well, that's what I can't find. I'm not finding any reaction whatsoever.
Yeah,
you would think so. As soon as I read that, I'd run her out of town.
I can find no evidence that she was fired.
Right.
Rookie, look up.
It's really odd.
Rookie, look up. Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A. K-A-Y-L-A. Elise, A-L-I-E-S-E. Carter. See if she's been fired. Because she's cutting to the chase. She's saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, she is.
She's admitting what this movement is. This movement is to end the world as we know it, burn it down, and start over.
And she works for the city.
Yeah.
The city she wants to destroy.
Yeah.
How the hell did she get past the interviewing process?
Because the people who interviewed her are part and parcel to the same scheme.
And it appears, just reading about the history of College Park, that they take great pride in their town, in their city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything about DEI or oppression or we're living on land that, you know, has been...
Finding anything about her, Rook?
Looks like she's still employed.
It's a streetcar suburb. Website. Yeah, it's a suburb of D.C.
Isn't it home to the University of Maryland?
Yeah. And the Agriculture College.
I love Maryland, by the way.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's a neat state. It's got your access to your Eastern Shore, your Navy out there in Annapolis, you know, got all that. It's got the Inner Harbor.
A lot of politicians.
Baltimore, got the great crab cakes. It's got, some stuff.
College Park Airfield, established by Orville and Wilbur Wright. Yeah. Those two.
Boy, oh boy. I don't know where to take you from there. We're
bleeped?
We're yeah. Boy, you almost said a bad word there. Yeah. I could tell.
Yeah, we're doomed. No, John, I was under control.
I heard a...
I know, you heard a little foof.
Fuzzy.
A little foofaroonu.
Oof, oof.
No, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we have to live in a metro area where we have legislators actively campaigning to not punish criminals and to raise the age of when they might even be considered for a punishment that you want to erase anyway by getting rid of minimum sentences.
I mean,
and the problem is we accuse people of not paying enough attention. It's damn difficult to keep up with everything.
That's why we're sad. That's why yesterday.
Because why we're
here. But even us, ones that pay attention to a lot of things.
That's why we want some help from the Department of Health. We want an office of knowing too much.
Matt, did you find anything?
No, she's still employed.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that says she was let go or fired or quit.
No fallout at all. Just say anything.
Here.
We're going to burn it down.
Here, part of the same story. Conference committees usually convene to work out differences in a compromise between House and Senate bills. A conference committee on school resource officer bills in the House and Senate reached a compromise Tuesday by essentially disregarding a Senate bill and sending the original House bill back to the floors of each chamber. The committee decided not to accept a Senate bill that would have allowed school resource officers and other school personnel to use prone restraints. They're rejecting that because that would be oppressive on students who threaten to steal or damage school property. Instead, the bipartisan committee unanimously agreed to the House bill that only allows officers to use physical restraints to subdue unruly students. Apparently, they can see a distinction between an unruly student and a student who merely wants to steal or damage property.
Okay.
That's apparently different. Seriously, that's apparently different than an unruly student. The bill also requires the officers to undergo new training because, God forbid, the students should be expected to behave. Get more training for the officers.
Right.
What this literally did was expand the use of prone restraints in our schools, not constrict them, said Senator Bonnie Westland, DFL Plymouth. So as a DFLer, she certainly does not want any officer anywhere near a student or touching them. Well, so she said, what this literally did was expanded the use of prone restraints in our schools, not constrict them. I'm glad that we have the opportunity today to correct what I see as a grievous error so that we can move this forward, so that we can get our SROs back in schools, so that everybody has clarity and understanding. Okay, Bonnie, for what purpose do you want the SROs back in school? You're so handcuffing them that they can't do anything. What do you want them back in schools for? Senator Jim Abler, Republican Anoka, agreed to reject the Senate amendment, but reminded Democrats if they had consulted law enforcement last year when they passed the original bill, they wouldn't be in this problem. I think in the grand scheme of things, it's probably an improvement over the whole system, and the safeguards people want to put there are there, Abler said as a member of the conference committee. On behalf of the people on my side of the aisle, I have to say we could have had these discussions last year, and we wouldn't even be dealing with it this year. Now the bill goes back to the House and Senate floors for votes. Also on Tuesday, the House Public Safety Committee heard a bill that would allow local governments to ban guns in public buildings like city halls and recreation centers and in city and county parks. All right. We want to make sure our local governments feel safe, said Samakbab Hussein, DFL, the author of the bill. That's odd, isn't it? We want to make sure our local governments feel safe.
Yeah. Forget the people.
What about the people?
Forget the people.
Yeah.
State law already bans guns in schools and courthouses. Well, they ban them for honest people. Right. Honest people adhere to this. But this would give local governments more control in areas where city and county meetings have become increasingly contentious. So Samakbab Hussein is really worried about is people at a government meeting getting shot at. That right. doesn't happen a lot.
No.
There have been times I've been concerned for my safety, the safety of my colleagues, and most importantly, the safety of the community in attendance, testified Minneapolis City Council member. Let's see who this is. Lisa Palmisano. Gun rights activists oppose the bill because they say it targets law-abiding citizens. All gun control bills target law-abiding citizens. Look what Frazier's doing. He's trying to make it easier for non-law-abiding citizens to commit a gun crime and not serve the minimum sentence and to have his age as a juvenile raised to 21.
He isn't.
But the law-abiding citizens are constantly pestered with new reams of bills, all of which they obey.
College Park and all of Minnesota could be the same spot.
Yeah.
What he's doing is metaphorically burning it down, just like this gal in College Park wants to start over again.
And none of these efforts will stop crime, but we have to look at crime differently. Crime is the raging and understandable activity of the oppressed. Am I being hyperbolic?
That's right on.
And loosening up laws will help bring crime statistics down.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, crime is not happening.
You've seen examples of this all over the country. Sentences lightened. Misdemeanors redefined. I guess it's okay in the Boston area to what? Go in a house and steal from it if it's empty?
Right.
Well,
you need that more than they do.
What the hell is that?
No, it's...
That's the oppressed getting their just desserts. for having been born into such a cruel, mean-spirited, competitive society. It's just been unfair. It's time to burn it down and start over.
Let me read you something here about our gal Carter out in
College Park.
Carter believes it's not enough to be not racist. One must be actively anti-racist and working to dismantle this S. Some of her posts contain defenses for violence, asking, why do black people always have to rationalize our violence and anger?
Wait a minute.
Violence isn't acceptable from anybody.
Violence is crime. It doesn't deserve rationalization.
And color doesn't figure into it. It's not acceptable.
Well, see, remember, read that quote again.
Some of her posts contain defenses for violence, asking, why do black people always have to rationalize our violence and anger? And then she goes on to say, remember, we are at a war against colonialism.
There it is, people. And violence and anger to her are justified because you're oppressed, even though you've been taught to be oppressed.
And I think the quote you read earlier, I can't wait for society to collapse so my ideology can rise from the ashes.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear that, the first person, and this might be off base, but the first person I think of is Charlie Manson. Because that's the goal he was going for, all of society to collapse.
Hey, it's fun to discover this stuff, isn't it?
I need a
It's actually disturbing.
Goodbye. Take a break.
North American Banking Company. That's right. The official banking company here in Garage Logic. They take the time to get to know you, your family, your business, and your banking. All of your banking needs, whether you've got a massive receipt you're pulling out of your pocket, go on into one of their six locations. Roseville, 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. I made the switch a number of months ago, and I'm really happy with my decision, and you will be too. They understand that there's no shortage of banking options here in the Twin Cities, so if you're tired of just being a number to your big national bank, then check out my friends at North American Banking Company. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but you're going to get the unparalleled service of a community bank. They are also locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means that loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They don't send these out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. So go online today, nabankco.com, to learn more. It's banking done differently. North American Banking Company, member FDIC, is an equal housing lender.
We haven't had many roofers join us on Garage Logic, but Pete is with us from Hire a Pro, and he wants to explain to you how they do what they do.
Joe, all a roofing company is an LLC acting as a GC that hires subs and gets their materials from a supply house. When Hire a Pro helps you on your storm damage claim, you get our discounts for materials, and the labor is provided by a licensed and insured crew that doesn't skip on the warranty. This lets you act as your own GC so you can keep what a roofing company would take in profits. So tell me, if the options were us or someone with no transparency who takes all the money, would you go anywhere else?
Probably not.
Last year, our homeowners, other GLers like you listening today, kept an average of $5,600 all for acting as their own GC. They trusted Hire a Pro because we don't door knock, we don't solicit, and we don't push contracts. You tell us when you're ready to go, and we've got your back.
So if insurance has approved your roof replacement, give these guys a call at 651-402-3400 or visit them online at hire.pro. That's hire, and then put the dot there, Pro.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
That one's been around for a while. Tell you what else has been around for a while. Seafoam top engine cleaner, and it doesn't get enough love, at least not on this program. I had a chance to use about a half a can of it over the weekend on a Makuni, and that long, bendy straw is the best. I cleaned out all the little ports and nooks and cranny of this carb, had it all apart. Really did a wonderful job. When I started working on this carb, it came out of a 5-gallon pail that was full of mouse ick.
So, yeah, it completely revived this carburetor, the Seafoam top engine. You know what else? When you accidentally get a little bit on your mouth because you're running the air hose through the carburetor, it doesn't taste half bad, but I wouldn't drink it. It's still, I guess what I'm trying to say, yeah, it's not as toxic as other other carb cleaner you may have used. It really does the job. It's at least more effective than the other cleaners. Definitely a product that GLers should keep in the shop. Well, of course, along with the deep creep, the tranny tune, the engine treatment, they're all available for your purchase in the chem aisle, either in the auto parts store, the big box store, NAC hardware. It doesn't matter. You'll find it everywhere. Seafoam truly is a miracle cure for everything that ails our cylinders and a wonderful product in a world of bad gas.
Here is John Haidt.
Sitting John
Haidt. Thank you, there. Joe.
Just trying to remind everyone to talk in such a way that we're easily understood.
This news is brought to you by American Banking Company. Yesterday, the Metropolitan Mosquito Control District unveiled their first forecast for the coming season for skeeters. The MMCD predicts mosquito season will begin earlier, especially if the weather stays warm, but the number of pests out there will likely be lower. This story actually said there were some skeeters out earlier this week. I didn't see any, but yes, sir.
I watched this story on the news last night.
Yeah.
I think it was Channel 5.
It was, yes.
And, you know, I've always had my doubts about the Metropolitan Mosquito Control District. It sounds like a good gig. Once in a while, they get a guy who goes out to a wetland and throws some pellets in there, and then we get a report that it's under control. But what struck me last night was that they interviewed some woman with the district in an office where they presumably examine mosquitoes.
Microscopes.
Yes, yeah. And there was a whole row of them covered with their blue covers. Yeah. And nobody was sitting there working. And I reinforced my suspicion that, I don't know what they're doing.
Are you saying the mosquito control division is overspending their budget?
I think, what do they do?
What if that scene was shot after hours or before hours?
No, I think,
or
it was right now. I think it was right in the workday.
Or during lunch.
Mm. It was the peak of workday.
Right when you should have been looking at larvae.
That is not what I took away from that story. Yeah. What I took away is when they showed close-ups of those mosquitoes, and I thought, I never need to see this again. This is icky and gross. These things are creepy.
Well, just to let people know, the person that Joe is actually slandering, that's Diane Crane. She's an MMCD.
I'm not slandering anyone.
Oh, okay. That seems like you are kind of mean.
Well, I'm not. I'm not slandering.
She came across as very likable.
I'm an inquisitive.
Diane said right now people are actually seeing some of the overwintering mosquitoes come out, and they're already looking for blood.
Why don't you just say the mosquitoes have stayed here in the winter?
She's got our best interest in
mind. I don't
like
the term overwintering.
There's no equity
here. I just don't like it.
She's just being her, doing her thing.
MMCD says there are 80,000 wetland habitats where skeeters can breed. Researchers say there are 52 species of mosquitoes in the state, and total numbers are in the trillions. Crane says right now it's warm, so they're monitoring the wetlands. They have people out looking for larvae. See, they had people out looking for
how hard can it be if there's trillions?
We're
trillions. They're everywhere.
We're trying to gauge it, she said, if we have to staff up earlier or if we have to calibrate our helicopters for treatments earlier. We're just kind of looking at it at this point day to day. In April, the lab will start using a trio of drones, one more than last year, as well as helicopters to drop pellets to kill the mosquito.
Let's tear the covers off those scopes, gang. Let's go here.
But any excuse to buy another drone.
Oh, they got toys up the wazoo.
Reavers has some buddies that take care of this problem, don't they?
MoShield.com.
Go.
That's right.
They'll be back in the spring.
That's right.
Because it's springtime.
It's spring.
No, not officially till Tuesday.
Tis the season.
I got a note from our friend up north, Tom Jewell, who went for a boat ride with his wife yesterday. Earliest in history, he said, I'm boating in winter.
Wow. But he's a hippie. He used oars.
Yeah, he's a hippie. He didn't
this
have
hippie
a motor.
Doesn't can't fire up a motor.
He didn't have an engine.
The guy's got more single cylinder than the rest of us. His index is
plus
in the thousands.
I think there was still a little ice on his lake too. I think he was funning me.
A little more on that story you talked about earlier, Joe. Currently in Minnesota, felons convicted of illegally possessing firearms have a mandatory minimum 5-year prison sentence, but at least one state lawmaker would like to change that. Mm-hmm. State lawmakers soon debating a proposed bill that would study the possibility of eliminating the mandatory minimum. Representative Cedric Frazier, a Democrat from New Hope, is the House sponsor of the bill. He says it's part of an ongoing effort to pass reforms in the criminal justice system. He told 5 Eyewitness News, studies have shown mandatory minimum sentences have not always worked in the way that they were originally intended.
You don't enforce them.
Maple Grove Police Chief Eric Warner, the immediate past president of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association, says removing mandatory prison time, though, would send the wrong message. Warner said those individuals that are essentially violating the law with the crimes that are being repealed are usually our most serious offenders. So why would we take a step back from keeping our community safe by holding our more serious offenders accountable?
What was his name? Frazier.
Cedric Frazier.
F-R-A-S-I-E-R.
No, Z-I-E-R.
Z.
C?
Not Adams.
That's why I couldn't
Not Adams, it. Yes.
Cedric the Entertainer. he is an American attorney and politician serving in the House. Let's see. That's New Hope. He graduated from high school in Chicago, moved to Minnesota to play NCAA football for the University of Minnesota Morris, BA in psychology, went to attend Mankato State. He served as a fellow with the U.S. Department of Housing, Urban and Development, graduating with an MA in Urban Studies with an emphasis in local government management. Then he went to William Mitchell. He joined, he was a clerk for Hennepin County Public Defender's Office, as well as the League of Minnesota Cities in its Municipal Law Litigation Department. Graduating with a JD and passing the bar exam, he became a public defender in Hennepin County.
Wasn't Mary a public defender?
Yes, right?
Well, then he might be right out of Mary's school of destruction.
Maybe they work together.
That's right.
I'm wondering if he and I went to school together because we're about the same age.
Mm-hmm. He's 44. He married Stella, and they have 3 children and live in New Hope.
Wonderful. But I bet he learned at the knee of Mary Moriality.
But every step in his education, his continuing education,
right,
got him right where he is today in politics.
That's right.
Making laws
That's
for
right.
us to abide by.
And having consumed every glass of Kool-Aid Mary ever poured, I'm willing to bet.
Yep, all part of the same movement.
And down goes Frazier.
That's
Burn
right.
it down.
That's
right. Burn it down. That's what we're doing.
And Minneapolis is a finalist to host next year's WrestleMania, the grappling extravaganza.
Somehow that's fitting.
Yeah.
This brings in hundreds of millions of dollars in economic benefits for the city and is within weeks of finding out whether its bid will be chosen. The nonprofit Minnesota Sports and Events, the lead organization working to bring major attractions to the Twin Cities, told the Star Tribune today that it has submitted its pitch that the WWE hold its multi-day, wildly popular blowout event at U.S. Bank Stadium. Wendy Blackshaw is MSC's president and chief executive officer. She says Minneapolis is one of several cities that WWE invited to take part in the competitive battle for WrestleMania. Let's see, XL1. What's that? XL50 is L. Well, anyway, it's a WrestleMania.
41.
41?
Well, L minus the X is 40. Then you got the 1.
You got the 1.
Yeah.
Minneapolis has never played host to WrestleMania, despite the state's history as a hotbed of pro wrestling. Blackshaw said, "We are hopeful, and I hope we get it." The organization, by the way, if you're wondering about the nonprofit, is funded by the Bloomington, Minneapolis, and St. Paul Convention Bureaus, corporations, and the state's pro sports teams. She says bringing WrestleMania here would be, in her words, amazing.
What did Jesse referee? Was that WrestleMania?
Mr. Was that St. Paul?
It was in Minneapolis at the Target Center.
That was WWE. Was it SmackDown?
It wasn't WrestleMania.
It was not because we've never had WrestleMania, right, according to...
Then we don't need to look at it.
Not even in St. Paul.
This would be a first then.
Yep.
Wow.
This would be the real championships, right?
I can't name one.
One wrestler.
Wrestler.
I don't know any of the
grapplers.
Ric Flair.
John Cena.
Ric Flair.
He showed up naked at the Oscars.
Steve Austin.
Is he a wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he was an actor.
He does both.
Why would he not have any clothes on at the Oscars?
That question will be answered on SmackDown.
Who is champ?
Why don't we take a break here? And we'll be back with more news after we hear from the rookie.
Boy, I certainly hope so. I got all these people pointing their fingers at me, and I just want to tell them about Minnesota Masonic Charities. Now, we talked about the Civility School, and people said, what is Civility School? Is that some kind of test? No, it's the people at Minnesota Masonic Charities and the Masons of Minnesota doing something about the decline in moral and ethical integrity. So on March 30th, the Saturday before Easter, they're going to test out a program they're developing called Civility School. Programs from 10 to noon, 2 hours at the Masonic Heritage Center in Bloomington. You get to serve lunch right after. They love a good meal, and they will put together a good lunch for you. That's another incentive. But Masonry has been described as a system of morality veiled in allegory, illustrated by signs and symbols. And what they want to do with Civility School is, it's a system of civility veiled in allegory, illustrated by YouTube videos and conversation. You get what I'm talking about here? They're going to the youth, and they're going to find them on social media. Civility School hopes to demonstrate to interested young people that civility is cool. That's what we need today. So over the next few weeks, I'll be sharing more about the Civility School and details how GLers might lend their insights to the program. So stick around, mnmasoniccharities.org, to learn more.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
That's government music. It's garbage.
If he's writing, well, never mind. See,
but other Bob Seger songs are amazing.
John, how is
Like a Rock a government song?
It's a Chevrolet ad.
It's used in the Chevrolet.
Are you more impressed with Priest that fold the towel after the hand washing, or just my senior son used to just go like this and just give it to the altar boy?
What the hell are you even talking about?
Here's the problem with us talking in music. I was very excited about the five music deaths, and now I just think I shouldn't even do it because, you know.
What kind of cult church do you go to, you fellas? What is that? Don't include me with his neuroses.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at garagelogic.com.
It's fine. I'm just going to start rolling.
That's fine.
Roll it.
Trying to be friendly.
The earth is not your mother.
Are we done yet?
The Joe Soucheray Show.
So I'm snooping around the internet, and I go over to MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com, and voila, brand new website there. It looks really good. And I thought I knew our guy Rich. Turns out I didn't know anything about him. 40 years in the industry, the lock and safe indie. 40 years. I started doing the math. What is Rich, like 90 years old? That's a long time. And it turns out if you need anything related to any kind of lock or key, Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe is the man. He's the solution. Home, office, vehicle, vault, anything. Look up Rich. And if you need a safe to protect your valuables, oh boy, Rich carries the best safe in the country, the Liberty Safe, made right here in the U.S. Best warranty in the business, fully transferable, best fire protection too, best selection. That means there's a safe for every occasion and every budget, and there's always a little something extra for the GLers. So make sure he knows you. Make sure he knows you come from Gumption County when you stroll in there. Give him the hearty handshake. We're talking 15% off all quicks. These are the small ones, the quick combo and key vaults, the ones you keep right there at your desk or bedside. Rich has a phone if you want to use that, 763-494-9075. Rich also has an address, and this is from the top of my head. I hope I'm right on this, 6901 East Fish Lake Road in Maple Grove. Brooke, look that up.
That sounds right.
And Rich has a... You don't have to, Matthew.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's right. And Rich has a really fancy new website you need to check out, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
Thank you, Kenny. In other news, President Biden and former President Trump clinched their party's presidential nominations yesterday with decisive victories in a slate of low-profile primaries. It sets up the general election rematch now that polls say, well, a lot of voters really don't want. The outcome of contests across Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington state was never in doubt. Neither Biden, a Democrat, nor Trump, a Republican, faced major opposition. Both now have the number of delegates they need to get their party's nomination. Meanwhile, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura topped the list of 2024 presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s preferred running mates, according to Kennedy's campaign. Kennedy said yesterday he had selected his number two, but he would not identify them at the time. He did confirm his intentions, he said, with his running mate. But a statement from Ventura's son, Tyrell, says his father has not been in contact at all with the Kennedy campaign and said he'd have no further comment on something that's just speculation.
I talked to Tyrell last night, and Kennedy has not contacted Governor Ventura at all. But when Governor Ventura is back here, he will come on the show.
He better.
Yeah. He accepted the invitation.
Is he at the Baja?
No silos. Okay. He is at an undisclosed warm location.
Somewhere off the grid.
Is this a case of why not?
I mean, do you...
For who? For Kennedy. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Who do I want to draw?
So, well, you think this is an act of desperation then?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's already a bleep show. Why not make it a bigger one?
Robert Kennedy's campaign is?
Kinda.
No, just the political landscape is a bleep show right now.
Let me ask you guys something. Kenny's had the weight of the world on Kenny's shoulders the last couple of days worrying about this. Kenny doesn't think that this country can survive four more years of Democratic rule. What say ye?
Well, it dovetails into everything we've been talking about, because that administration would be more predisposed to accommodating the oppressed than realizing how to get to the bottom of this.
That leaves us with two choices, Trump or Kennedy.
RFK.
Yeah. And it seems like a vote for Kennedy might mean Trump is going to win. So why not just vote for Trump? What do you do here? That's what I'm asking. That's what Kenny is asking you, Joe.
You got 8 months to worry about it. Don't bother me right now.
Kenny, you have the weight of the world on your shoulders.
You do.
Kenny.
You have the weight of the world.
Kenny is very worried.
Yeah. But he raises an interesting point.
You need a hobby, Kenny. I'm telling you.
That's driving me crazy.
Who is Kennedy going to take votes from?
He'll drive green cart.
Isn't
both? He'll take from both, because the people that don't want to. Well, they're obviously not going to vote for Trump, but Democrats are going to say, I don't want Biden, so he stands to gain.
Well, let's talk seriously a second about these VPs. Wouldn't you, Jesse is the guy, right? He's way better than Aaron Rodgers.
Well, plus, Aaron Rodgers, isn't he playing this fall?
It's the plan.
Yeah. And Jesse was a pro-vaxxer, and RFK's an anti-vaxxer. How is Jesse going to reconcile that?
I see that as good. Why not have a difference of opinion? All of America has a difference of opinion. Hell, on this own show, we have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, but Jesse tends to take those things personally, and I wonder if he can square working for a guy that had the opposite view he did.
I think that's
true.
Okay, so...
But it would be fun as hell, though. It would be fun as hell.
Oh, God.
Okay, Bob wins the election.
We're going to the White House.
Something unfortunate happens to Bob. Who do we want running this country? The football player or the wrestler?
The body.
I want the wrestler.
Yeah. I want Jesse.
Yeah. I want the wrestler. He's already shown he can do it.
He's going to shake down the chicken coop.
Yeah.
Matthew, do you think... Is there any chance that Tyrell was playing poker with you, showing you the cards?
No, he's pretty upfront. We talk occasionally, so it's
Maybe you're not as close to him as you think you are.
Could be.
Maybe he's bummed out you have his phone number.
I'm saying I'm close to him.
He was quoted in the Star Tribune saying the same thing, though. So
I don't know. I'm just wishful thinking here.
Are those my cheaters that you're wearing? Are those mine?
No, these are mine.
Yeah, never mind. I guess it's time for the next story, John. We lost.
Where's the party? God.
I see they are. I see better through your cheaters.
Four astronauts from four countries caught a lift back to Earth with SpaceX yesterday to end a half-year mission at the International Space Station. The capsule streaked across the U.S. in the pre-dawn darkness and splashed into the Gulf of Mexico near the Florida Panhandle. NASA's Jasmine Mogbelli, a marine helicopter pilot, led the returning crew of Denmark's Andreas Mogensen, Japan's Satoshi Furukawa, and Russia's Konstantin Borisov. They moved into the space station last August. Their replacements arrived last week in their own SpaceX capsule.
Do they have to wear diapers? They have to wear diapers up there, don't they?
I don't know
how
that works.
I think they need to contain it before it gets loose.
I don't think there's a lot of privacy.
Yeah.
So it'd be very...
Hey, Ray. Ray. Oh, sorry.
Well, you can always see by the look on his face what's going on.
If the house. If they look like this,
Matt.
You know they're wearing a diaper. That's my favorite. The two-year-old stops playing blocks and runs into a corner, and it just goes.
Yeah, yeah, it's really serious for a couple of minutes.
There's nothing that beats it.
Yeah.
Nothing
it's
says,
one of those parental lessons you learn.
They go behind the bookshelf.
Like dog, right? They're hiding.
Please don't talk
Timmy,
to me.
Timmy, where are you, Timmy?
Just give me a minute, Dad.
I'm going to need you in about 30 seconds.
Stuck behind the curtain.
We are such juveniles.
Oh, man. You guys really are.
Yeah.
You guys really
the
are.
House,
we are.
The House this morning approved a bill that calls for China tech giant ByteDance to divest TikTok or the popular social video app will be effectively banned in the United States. The measure passed big time, 352 to 65, one member voting present. The legislation is dubbed, this is a very long title, the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. It was introduced on March 5th. 2 days later, House members on the Energy and Commerce Committee voted unanimously to approve the bill, which refers to TikTok as a threat to national security because it's controlled by a foreign adversary. The bill now heads to the Senate. Now, there it doesn't face a certain future. Senators appear divided about the legislation and other federal and state-led efforts to ban TikTok have at this point stalled.
Isn't it too late? Everybody that has TikTok has been compromised. And all the friends of people who have TikTok have also been compromised. So it's too late. We've all been compromised.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have TikTok.
Yeah, but you've been compromised. You're not so great with the phone.
Oh, you're right.
Dollar Tree, which operates about 16,700 locations, including the Family Dollar chain, says it will close about 1,000 Family Dollar stores over the next few years as it battles what it calls merger indigestion, inflation, and store theft. Persistent inflation and reduced government benefits are pressuring customers, they said, particularly at the lower income levels at the Family Dollar chain.
Times are really tough if you're robbing a Dollar General.
Yep.
Yeah, right. At least go to Five Below.
He made off with $11 worth of merchandise. Right.
The company has struggled since it won a hard-fought battle to acquire Family Dollar, its main rival, back in 2015. This is what they're calling indigestion. I've never heard it put that way before. They say they've been under pressure from several activist investors to improve the operations to make more money with their stocks. For several years, executives tried to renovate some of the Family Dollar locations to boost performance. And in 2019, they moved to close 600 Family Dollar stores. This new closing, as I said, would be about 1,000. Paul Alexander, a North Texas man, believed to be the last man who lived in an iron lung for most of his life, has died. According to his obituary, he died March 11th. He was 78. Alexander quickly rose to fame on social media, telling stories and answering questions about what it's like living in an iron lung.
He was declared the longest surviving iron lung patient last March by the Guinness Book of World Records. He had contracted polio during the epidemic of the disease in the 1950s as a child living in Texas. Throughout his life, Alexander received a law degree, passed the bar, opened a successful practice, and became a published author. His cause of death was not given. A few weeks ago, though, his social media manager posted a video saying he was rushed to the emergency room after contracting COVID-19. With the creation of polio vaccines, by 1994, polio had been eliminated from the Americas, and by 2000, the Western Pacific was polio-free. By 2003, polio remained endemic in only 6 countries. By 2006, that number had dropped to 4. 21st century saw further advances with cases brought down by more than 99% worldwide.
Arthur Digby Sellers.
How did that guy do that?
He wrote 156 episodes of Branded, dude, the bulk of the series. Not exactly a lightweight.
How did he do it? How did he have the soul to pull that off?
I just got it, and I'm wearing the damn shirt, Kenny.
Joe still hasn't got it.
I'm thinking about the guy in the iron lung.
So am I. Arthur Digby Sellers wrote the bulk of the series.
What the hell is Arthur Digby Sellers?
It's Larry Sellers' father.
Remember my shirt, Joe, that I told you about?
Big Shot in Hollywood.
With the Lebowski on it, remember?
Yeah.
Remember in the movie?
He's the guy in the iron lung, Joe.
Apparently not.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Then Walter goes outside and beats the hell out of that Corvette. But it's the neighbors.
Right. Yeah, that's not my car.
This is what happens when you
that's good writing.
Stranger
that's
in there.
That's right.
Yep.
What happens?
And
the kid
finally,
just sits there going.
Can we go back to the guy in the iron lung?
Sure.
Yeah. Arthur.
What's
the deal?
How much willpower did the guy have? That's amazing.
What is your interaction with an iron lung?
I don't think I could handle it.
We have to talk like this. How you doing, Mr. Sellers? I love your work on Branded.
The only place that I've ever seen it is at, what's the shop? Axeman.
Yeah.
They have an iron lung.
Yeah, they do.
Do they have forever?
Is there a latch on the inside?
Well, fortunately, you don't need them anymore.
Right.
Look, you guys, is there a latch on the inside, or is it like being stuck in a trunk? Oh. I mean, can you get out if you want to?
Well, what's the point?
Not on your own accord.
What are they pumping you in?
I guess it keeps you breathing.
Yeah, your lungs,
there's
right?
some kind of compression.
Your lungs.
But again, I have to go back to the space question. What about bathroom stuff?
I don't care about the bathroom stuff.
They drain it
I'm
once
just
a day.
Tipping my hat to this... this fellow.
There's a little, it's like a little.
Like a cat carrier with
a
roll.
Right, exactly. On the boat, what do you call that thing? The drain plug. Yeah.
That's right.
Now let's go back to the real.
John, thank you.
No, I got to ask the real question about this conversation.
Yeah.
Who here, besides Joe and myself, because we're old, remembers the TV show Branded? Nobody.
Was it real?
I don't.
Oh, yeah, Chuck Connors.
And I don't remember it.
I thought it was made up.
No, Chuck Connors in the 60s.
Did the guy in an iron lung really write that show?
After being hospitalized, he woke up and found himself inside an iron lung, which is a respirator that works a person's diaphragm. Okay, but
you... Who are you talking about? The fellow who just died?
Yeah, this guy. But your face is exposed.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He liked wine, women, good food. How in the hell do you...
Wow.
That's just amazing.
Is there room for two in one of those?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta oil up
guy
first.
Guy gets lonely.
You gotta oil up first.
Well, that's all right.
Get some coconut oil.
Well, yes. I hope he got to get out of there once in a while.
Go for a walk around the block.
No, I don't know if he could do that much, but I hope he got to get out of
there. People magazine did a big spread at people.com, and they are just a horrible. There's a stock photo of nurses attending a room full of patients in iron lungs. Looks scary as hell.
Did they have leg holes? Maybe you could go for a walk with that thing like you've got like a wooden barrel around you.
Like it's a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
I've never heard such blasphemy and disrespect.
I know.
It's not going specific on this guy.
It's
this
just
is just
terrible.
Horrible
I
thing.
Really, my hat's
you guys are
to
the worst.
Guy.
Actually, I can't believe how insensitive you people are.
No. Yeah. Just goodbye now. Goodbye.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, goodbye.
You know, I forgot to mention something when I was talking about Linda Keller and Keller Tax Service. KellerTaxService.com is the website. You know what the cool thing she does, Joe, when you've used her consistently? She sends you a checklist. hey, dummy, don't forget this, don't forget that. She knows more about my stuff than I do.
That's her. That's why she's good.
That is why she's good. So here's the deal. Go to KellerTaxService.com right now and schedule your appointment. As Joe mentioned the other day, she takes a lot of classes each month. Was it four hours every month? To keep up to date with all of the changes and all of the different tax laws and everything else. And she prepares all types of returns for all types of people, all types of businesses. If you're out of state, that doesn't matter. She can take care of your taxes as well. KellerTaxService.com. She's one of us. She's been a diehard GLer for quite some time, and she is here for you, your family, your business, whatever you need. Linda Keller and Keller Tax Service is here to take care of you. Book your appointment, and please, please, please make sure that you mention that you heard about her on the Garage Logic podcast.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Based on what we've been talking about today, I now have a way to understand this story. North Face. Do you have any North Face clothing, quarter zips or whatever?
I do not.
A couple jackets.
Oh, I never will again. If I have any now, I know I've had it in the past. I don't think I have any, but if I do, they're going to St. Joseph's Coat.
I'm not giving mine up. I like it too much.
North Face is offering a discount for customers who take a diversity, equity, and inclusion course. The Colorado-based sportswear brand, whose parent company is VF Corporation, says on its website that Allyship, A-L-L-Y, Allyship in the outdoors, offered in the United Kingdom, is about racial inclusion and allyship. In other words, being an ally.
Yeah, it's not.
Customers who take the course can receive a 20% discount from North Face if they take the one-hour course and agree to engage in allyship. Hmm. Some of the material in the course states how white people never experience hardship based on the color of their skin. Can anyone see where I'm going here based on what we've talked
about
today?
Oppressor and oppressed.
Just keep thinking about it, though. Keep thinking about it.
Cowboy.
Citing the course, Fox Business noted that people of color are barred from outdoor activities because they lack white privilege. I'm unaware of that. That's according to the course. Hmm. It then featured privilege statements, including, I can be confident people in the outdoors will be respectful and kind to me, and I can be sure that when I'm in the outdoors, there will be other people like me there. Well, just, okay.
Yeah.
Here, page two. It also instructs attendees that being an ally meant combating racism on the systemic and personal level. A VF Corporation spokesperson that owns North Face said the North Face has always believed the outdoors should be a welcoming, equitable place. Okay. This course aims to bring light to the barriers to entry, preventing all people from sharing equally rewarding experiences for the outdoors. Okay, well, North Face is full of BS, but here's what's happening. Does anybody see where I'm going to go here? Anybody have a prediction?
I got a pathway.
Some entities believe they need to do this in order to survive the burning.
ESG.
They think that if we put on this face, maybe we'll survive once the oppressed burn us all down. Maybe we can still be standing because we played along. We were good people. Other entities might decide to be very accommodating of climate change hysteria, for example, in order to get grace points. What is Subaru, I think, plants trees or something, don't they? Or they're good to the planet. And so you can go up and down the roster of corporate America or corporate Western civilization, and you see many of them buying into this BS, hoping that they'll survive the war. They'll survive the uprising. They'll survive the conflagration.
But if that does take place, none of this will matter.
Well, they think that they might literally think that when the torches come around, their place wouldn't be marked.
Hold on. They
had the DEI course.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They have alley shit.
They have from day one, though, I'm looking at their page, been a very, shall we say, liberal organization.
Yeah, because they're full of B as in BS.
Their founder was a guy from San Francisco named Doug Tompkins, and his store became a cultural trading post where the Grateful Dead played live, the Beat Generation shared new ideas, and a who's who of American mountain climbers stopped in.
Okay.
So they've always been, obviously.
You know. It's funny. With all of that, what they are at heart, at the very base, is a money-making machine.
So it's Patagonia. Oh, yeah. They call the same BS.
Money.
Patagonia goes after their environmental concern. Look at how good we are. And now North Face is going after racial concerns, mm-hmm. and Subaru is going after climate concerns. They're all figuring out their nook. They're all figuring out their way in to figure out how to survive this. Hmm. That's my theory.
Okay.
You know what it puts me in mind of North Koreans bowing down to their supreme leader so they won't be singled out and thrown in prison.
You're on the same page. Even though that fat little screwball that runs North Korea, he went to school in Switzerland. They didn't keep him there to, you know, go to school.
What a weenie.
You know, Renewal by Anderson brings us only because, but Tom Lyman from Lake Lesnick, I've had trouble with that.
Yeah, Lake Lakalulu.
Spit it out, Joe Bunyan.
Yeah, you're playing hurt.
Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, he is a big fan of Renewal by Anderson Windows, having had them in one of their previous homes. And now he has sent a video that you can find at Anderson Windows. It's called How a Wood Window is Made from Start to Finish.
Okay.
And given that that would be produced by Renewal by Anderson, I bet it's pretty cool.
I'm sure it is.
So thank you, Tom Lyman. Renewal by Anderson is not just for windows. It's for patio doors, entry doors. They have 5-star reviews and highest customer satisfaction you can get from J.D. Power. All of that information and corroboration is on their website. They're the best, and they can prove it. And if you're in the market for windows, check out Renewal's Acclaim Replacement Windows. They're engineered and innovated by Anderson. And according to our man, Tom Lyman, go to Anderson, renewalbyanderson.com and check out that video, How a Wood Window is Made from Start to Finish. I'd probably watch that.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff.
I wonder, could I see how a wood window was made on worldwidewaftage.com?
Boy, that's a... You took a risk there with all those W's, didn't you?
Very good. Well done.
That's Renewal by Anderson. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or give Renewal by Anderson a call, 651-705-6931. Hmm. Only because they come to us by Renewal Anderson. From Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. We did nothing on this day.
Nothing?
One thing.
What?
One lousy item.
What the hell?
On this day.
March 13th.
In 1858, Kennebec County is formed out of Pine County. Kennebec is an approximation of Ginbig, the Ojibwe Anishinaabemowin word for snake, and the Snake River. In a big zibby.
Yep. I think you're speaking. Ojibwe right now.
I turn out the radio.
Pass that fatty over here, would you?
That's true. And the Ginbig Zibby.
Don't Bogart that thing.
Flows through Kennebec County. Kennebec County, Ojai, Kitson, and Kuchiching are your K counties. What are the G counties?
I don't
know. Goodhue.
Goodhue and Grant.
Tell us, Chief.
Goodhue and Grant.
Yeah.
And Gumption.
Gumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, GLS.
I pull you a little
Thank
closer.
You, GLS.
I take you quiet. For a ride in Kennebec County.
Okay, if you're very, very quiet, I'm hunting rabbits.
All right. Well, let's go to the book. If you would like full video and full show audio, including before, during, and after the show, even when most of the staff doesn't know we're in a break, then you need to sign up for the Garage Logic Town Council. Those are just a few of the great perks of a membership. You'll even get your own official member card and a certificate directly from the mayor himself, along with invites to exclusive events. Learn more about the town council, and you can also become a member right there online at garagelogic.com. It is time once again that we pick up the phone and we make that call to our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic. And now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he is there for you for that free 48-minute financial consultation. And he will always give you straight talk. He will never give you sugar-coated advice, and he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And Josh, I know that you do not like to talk about politics. However, politics might have a pretty big impact in relation to social media and other things today, won't it?
Oh my goodness. I have never, I'll be blunt, I've never seen a bigger bunch of morons than what has happened in Congress this morning and probably prior to this. A big, big bipartisan vote. Okay, you can't get Congress to pass any money to fix your highways, your sewers, your roads. Now, of course, somebody will say, well, that's up to the localities in the state. But take a trip on some of the U.S. highways. Take a trip. How smooth are they? Good luck with that. Can't fix roads, bridges, highways. Can't get the train system to operate on time. And I can give it a whole bunch of other can't get done. Oh, here we go. Border security. Can't get that done. Can't provide money to help the Ukrainians and the Israelis. Don't have time for that. But we do have time to ban TikTok. We're going to ban, they voted bipartisan to ban TikTok. Now there's a lot more to the bill than just saying banning TikTok. Yes, Congress is concerned with privacy issues. And since TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, ByteDance, they're worried that your personal information that you put up on TikTok is going to get into the Chinese or the Chinese government, or they're going to have access to some of your personal information because, of course, with TikTok and with other social media platforms, you might not have as much privacy as you think. Well, that's your choice. How about that? Personal choice. Take personal responsibility. But now you're really getting me started here. This deal, I mean, if the Chinese really see some of the stuff that goes on TikTok, like my dog's dancing, really? They're going to get a lot of information from that? They're just going to say they're a bunch of idiots in the United States. If that's what they're interested in is posting pictures and video of dogs dancing or overweight dads in bikinis, and that's something attractive, okay, knock yourself out. But there are 170 million people in the United States that are on or have a TikTok account. Part of the deal, yes, is a concern that Congress has about privacy issues. Well, if they had issues about privacy, why are they going after my favorite company, Apple, and saying, Apple, you have to open up your platform to other companies that may not have some of the privacy concerns and security concerns that you, Apple, have offered. That doesn't sound right. And meantime, part of this ban, again, does hit Apple. It does hit Google because they offer the TikTok application through their platform. And if they can't download it, well, that could have a small, and I do mean very small, impact on some of the advertising that might go through Apple or Google through to TikTok's platform. I don't think is so material, but there are several, you know, constitutional issues relating, of course, to free speech. And also, here it is, the retaliation. Do the people in Congress not think that China is not going to retaliate at some U.S. companies? Could that be Apple, Google, Tesla, Nike, Starbucks, Kentucky Fried Chicken, General Motors, Walmart, Best Buy, or even Facebook? book. You know, the list can go on, and there's an awful lot of what I call tit for tat. In this case, I don't see China the big boogeyman that many portray it out to be. This is, in my estimation, a lot of political grandstanding over a small, I will say small, company. It does provide, if TikTok is banned, it does provide a big opportunity for Meta and their Reels platform to come in and become very, very dominant. I'm one of those people, you want competition, good. Go out and create a business that will compete and will attract consumers so that you can build your brand. The idea is not put somebody out through legislation, put somebody out through competition. Thanks for listening to this rant. It did get my attention this morning.
That's why you're the best, Mr. Money Talk. Well, you heard him, GLers. Now's the time for you to pick up the phone and make the call for that free, yes, I said free, 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, as always, thank you so much for the time and the chat and the flexibility this week. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Go Twins.
You got it.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.